This morning our scripture reading is taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, and it's only short this morning, verses 2 and 3. But it really doesn't matter the length of verse, does it? Because the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. Like, how profound is that? So let's read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading this morning.
Good morning. It's good to be back. It's good to be home. We had a great time away. You'll hear about that this morning. Always seem to be able to find sermon illustrations when I'm on annual leave. I won't be using my children much. Not much. But we are in the second week in our series today on being not afraid. Before I launch into the sermon and chat about that, I want to just take a moment to honour our leaders, the leadership team here at the Core, who carried a lot of the weight of everything that was happening in the time that we were away. So to all of them, I want to commend them to you as good, godly people who continue to just quietly go about things. It's been a real gift to us to have that time away. And I want to say thank you to each one of them for all that they did while we weren't here. So the second week in this series, last week Debbie shared with us through the magic of television, the first week in the series on Not Afraid. And while we were away, I shared in that in church both weeks. I didn't stay for the sermon the first week because I didn't need to hear myself a second time, but the last week Debbie shared with us about being not afraid. The things that stuck out to me that have been rattling around in my mind this week are two things that she said: no matter what comes our way, because of Christ, we are not afraid. No matter what comes our way. So you can have a list. Well, I'm not going to be scared if it's this or that or the next thing. No matter what. Now think about that for a second, that there's zero that can come our way. Now, I'm saying if there's snakes on that list, I'm still afraid, all right? They are, nope. I'm still afraid, I'm still absolutely scared, and I'm not sure that they just shouldn't be around. I probably shouldn't be afraid though because of Christ. Second one that has really stuck in my mind, and it's really obvious out here because of the lack of streetlights sometimes, the darker the world gets, the brighter Christ's light shines. The darker the world gets, the brighter Christ's light shines. Have you ever, we've been out here where there's just no streetlights, right? How bright is the light that can come around us? So thanks, Debbie, for sharing those things last week. One of the things that we've lived throughout this year is something called COVID-19, and it's been made some of us happy because we haven't had to go and play with the humans as much, and for some of us it's been really frustrating, and a whole bunch of us right in between. The amount of things that we would never have spoken about before, like hot spots and all of these other things, weren't part of our language before. And yet they're part of our normal now. I think there's only one thing more contagious than a virus, and that's fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what tomorrow might bring, fear of a whole bunch of things. And one of the things that we can do as Jesus followers is that by just being human, sometimes we can pass that fear on to others. Right? When we take our eyes off Jesus, we can find ourselves being contagious with fear. Throughout this year, there's been a whole bunch of change that's gone on. We can be afraid of change, can't we? It's almost become part of our normal. Between the March the 22nd and July the 12th, we had 22 different changes of how we did church in this building. Man, it got tiring. One week, it was Neil and I. We were the only two allowed in the building. Do you remember that, Neil? That was, I mean, Neil's good, but I mean, he had to try to carry me, the poor beggar. But here we are. But it changed, and we're just like, well, we don't know why we're doing this. When we were away on annual leave, we went jet skiing one day. And that was going well, and we got to go out and see turtles that were swimming, and they were massive. Anyway, we saw one, and I pulled up. We were following in a group and a tour guide, and we had to follow his lead the entire way. That was going splendid until I stopped because I wanted to look at something. And then, for as far as you could see, I could see where I had to get to, but there was no wake. There was no following. And I was like, all right, now I've got to make my own way. I was as confident until I didn't have that wake anymore. When I didn't have anything to follow, I was like, all right, here we go. And you know, you hope for the best and hope you're not going to hit something. And yeah, because if I injure a child, I have to tell their mother. And that's probably more painful than having to sit through anything at the hospital, particularly when the child is yours. And yeah, telling their mum is not exactly a really fun thing to do on your holidays. So here we are flying across, and we hoped that we weren't going to hit anything, but there was no wake, because you see, we followed the wake of the jet ski in front of us. And I said to the guy that was running our course that day, I said, you know what? I was super confident while I had you to follow. But as soon as you weren't there anymore, I realized how afraid of this thing I actually was. Has anyone ever had that in life? Where they can be super brave as long as they've got footsteps to follow. And they've got somebody to follow in the footsteps of. And all of a sudden, there was no wake. And I was on my own. Has that been your experience? Well, I can tell you that it was the longest 200 meters of my life. It was only 200 meters. But you're thinking, it's not anyone else's skills and abilities now. We're talking about my small amount of ability. I'd been riding this thing for 12 minutes. I was not any good at it at all. And yet, there was that thing that came up inside, that knot that gets inside us. I'll admit to Logan now that we're 2 weeks past it, I was fully scared. Once we didn't have the wake anymore, I was all of a sudden scared. What's our wake? What are we letting other people follow behind us? Are we giving them a wake to be able to say, yeah, that's where I want to go. That's who I want to follow. Because if we're not following Jesus and people are following us, what are they following? What are they following? As I said earlier, fear is contagious. It can spread uncontrollably. Debbie read for us this morning the start to the letter from Paul to the church in Thessaloniki. And it says these things. Think of what our faithful work is. What's our loving deeds? What's our enduring hope that others will follow? Why did we have faith, love, and hope because of our Lord Jesus Christ. For when we brought the good news, it was not only with words, but also with power. We bring good news because we live a life of brokenness, and it is through the amazing grace that we sing about, right? The hymn writer says, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I was lost, and now I'm found, blind, and now I see." Does God's grace still amaze us? Does it still stop us in our tracks and we go, whoa, God's love for me still makes a difference? Do we find it easy to tell others about Jesus? Do we like to use our words? Is that one of our go-tos? Like, we can just get up and talk about it? The saying says, a picture paints 1,000 words. Sometimes the way that people can see Jesus' love is not because of what we say, but rather by how we follow. It's not by what we say sometimes, but how we follow and what we do. And the other part is the why we do it. For the last 8 weeks or so, maybe eight, maybe six, I think actually, 6 weeks, a group from our church has been involved in a leadership development program at the high school. It means getting up at 6 a.m. It means going across and doing all of those things. Do they do it because that's why we just do it? No, the reason we do it is because the love of Christ compels us, and we want to make sure that we're passing on to the next generation, as the psalmist tells us, the praiseworthy deeds of God. Now, has anyone that goes on that team on a Tuesday or a Thursday morning been able to say, yep, I've preached a sermon? No. We'd probably empty the room and have more food for us guys if we did that, but it's not really what it's about. But we've been able to speak life and hope into children's lives and believe in them in ways that we haven't been able to, we wouldn't have had the opportunity to before. We have a good news. We have a good news that's worth spreading, don't we? We have a good news that is worth talking about. What are we carrying around within us that's worth spreading? I think it was last week, one of the weeks when we were away, I shared an analogy, a story about having a cup. And the cup that we have and what we have inside that cup, no one actually knows until we get rattled around and some of it spills out, right? Now, most people would know that if you bump my cup, there will nearly always be coffee that comes out, because coffee is the elixir of God, and I drink it for the community's protection, because I don't display fruits of the Spirit without it very well. But you can be as careful as you like with your cup if you don't go near anyone else. But the reality is, in the world in which we live, there are people that crowd in around us, and we sometimes get bumped and we sometimes get jostled. You know, like at Christmas shopping, not like now Christmas shopping, like what we used to always have with Christmas shopping, where there's just people everywhere at the shops, you invariably get bumped. So what's coming out of your cup? What are you doing? Further on into that passage that Debbie read for us this morning, it says these words in verse 8. "And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere." Is that true? "Even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For everywhere we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God." Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great that people are gossiping about our faith in God, gossiping about God's faithfulness. Not in the negative connotations around gossip, but we're talking about it all the time. And that people would be talking about the fact that we have a faith in God because He is faithful to us. This is what happens, you see. There's a whole bunch of people that will never come inside the four walls of a building and hear about Jesus. But they will see what Jesus can do in a life because of the way that you interact with them the whole week through. There's good news, isn't there? Jesus raised the little girl from the dead. And what does it say in Matthew chapter 9? That the news of this spread throughout all that region. When God breaks through, news spreads fast. There are other times when you look in Mark's gospel where it says, go away and tell nobody. Now, if you've got a secret that's really exciting and someone tells you you've got to keep that to yourself, is that not the hardest thing to do? It's like when your mum told you not to touch the stove because it was hot. How hot, right? How close can I get? Maybe that wasn't you, but that was totally me. I needed to know. And it's the same thing happens now. If we go to a Mexican restaurant and something says hot sauce, I need to know what hot looks like. And so we look at what it looks like. I look at how hot is hot sauce. I need to know. In the same way, when I'm telling somebody about how amazing God's grace is, I hope that by my testimony, they're saying, okay, I've heard about this grace. I've heard about God's love. I need to know how amazing it is. That it creates that hunger or that desire within them to find out more. Fear is contagious. We said that earlier. But so is faith. Faith is contagious. I want to be a faith spreader. I want to be a love giver. I want to be a hope dealer. I want to do everything that I can to bring others into a relationship with Jesus. Psalm 78 tells us that we want to pass on to the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of God. Well, if I want to pass that on, I need to know what excites me about Jesus right now, right? I need to know what that is. In John 13, we read a really well-known passage in there where it says that people will know that we are Jesus' disciples. People will know that we are followers of Jesus by the way that we hoard water bottles. Doesn't say that. People will know that we're Jesus' disciples because of the way that we buy exorbitant amounts of toilet paper. Doesn't say that either. People will know that we're Jesus' followers because of our love for one another. And love can hurt. There's a cost associated with loving somebody. There's something that we give within us when we give it to them. If I was... you know the big sponges that you can have that you use for car washing? I think God's love is like that. And when we throw it to each other, invariably we get wet because it's full of water. But there are times in our life and where that sponge, well, I can throw it to you, but if it's not wet with the water of life, then there's no difference because of our interaction. Right? If it's dry, that's just like getting hit with something soft. You fill that sponge with water and then throw it because of our interaction, it doesn't matter. God's love is just like this, that it doesn't matter how carefully you try to catch it and stay out the road, you're getting wet.
It doesn't matter how people try to get away from, God's love. When we share it with others, we want them to get wet with the water of life, don't we? We want them to be, well, I'd be happy if they got drowned in it. Not to death, but drowning's good. You know, just drenched in it. One of the most popular sayings that I've heard in the last 6 months is, I can't wait for things to go back to normal. And there are elements of, in fact, if I was being really transparent, I said it this morning. I saw someone from our church family this morning who I haven't seen for probably 4 months because of COVID and having to be socially distanced and all that sort of stuff. And there's an element in which I want to be able to experience fellowship like we used to have, where this place would be packed with people. But what I realized as I was wandering back up from the coffee shop is that we don't need a building to be in fellowship. Ministry doesn't happen just because you're inside this building. There are people that attend Fast Salvos online that have actually never been to here in their life. You see, hope doesn't need an address. It needs a carrier. Right? Hope doesn't need an address. Now, there's guys in the room this morning. Some of them have shared with us. Some of them haven't. They don't live in this postcode. And they do right now. Hallelujah. But they don't normally. And that, I heard one of them say this morning, we've come from all different parts of the world, and yet it feels like we're all still part of the same body. Well, I've got to tell you that the same hope that gave them the courage to follow God's faithfulness is the same hope that we can experience each week. Why do we want to be faith spreaders? Because of Jesus. It's not because of what he's done, but by who he is. He's the door which we enter. He's the spiritual bread which strengthens our soul. He's the one who delivers the captives. He's the one who restores the broken. He has restored me and you. He strengthens us when we're weak. He's our provider. He's our comforter. He's our source. He's our strength. He's our redeemer. Amen? He's our rock, our sustainer. He's our blessed assurance. He's our firm foundation. He's our shelter in times of trouble. He's the light when the world just seems to get darker. He's the Prince of Peace, the Lamb of God, the Alpha and the Omega, the resurrection and the life. God's goodness is indescribable. His power is not comprehensible. His grace is irresistible. At his name, darkness trembles. In his presence, demons flee. Death couldn't defeat him. The grave couldn't hold him. That's who Jesus is. Fear is contagious. We said that earlier. But so is faith. Hate is contagious. But so is love. Worry is contagious, but so is hope. And I want you to have hope that is found in Christ Jesus. We want to talk about faithful works. We want to talk about loving deeds. We want to talk about enduring hope. We need to be carriers this morning. We need to be contagious with that hope. Unless we don't have good news to spread. Unless we haven't experienced God's amazing grace. Then I'm not asking you to spread anything. We've got a big enough job as it is. You know, if you don't know about God's amazing grace, then don't spread it. Come and talk to me, message me. I want to chat to you because I want to tell you about the fact that I'm broken. I've got dents. I've got paint chips off because of the world in which I live. And God sees me broken, with paint chips off, dents that I can't take out all by myself, and says, I love you. I want to show you how much I love you by spreading my arms wide and dying on the cross. You see, if I'm not prepared to be a hope carrier, then I am shortening this world and shortchanging this world from what they can experience. You see, in each of us, we read in the creation narrative in Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, the story of how we're created. And we're created in His image, right? We're image bearers of God. And if we're not living out God's purpose for us, then we're shortchanging this world of a clear image of God in this world. There's good news to spread. Do you have a good news story about how God has broken through? Do you have a light to share, a shine through the story you have to share? No matter what darkness we face, God's light shines brighter. Our music team's going to come and share with us just now a song that says, lift up our eyes. We know the story of Peter walking on water. And we always talk about Peter, the guy that walked on water. We don't ever talk about the people that stayed in the boat faithfully either, right? They still saw God. They didn't do those amazing things, but they could still tell you their story about having interactions with Jesus. But in the story of Peter, he gets out of the boat, and when he takes his eyes off Jesus, he starts to see the problems around him and realizing that his own capacity, his own capability was going to pull him up short. And all of a sudden he started to sink. So we're going to sing this morning. If there have been times where you've been distracted by things around you, you've been distracted by the problems that you're facing, this morning, friends, I want to encourage you to lift up your eyes. All of heaven's in worship. We join with all of creation, don't we? In bringing glory and honor to God. That's why we're created. And so this morning, I'd invite you as we sing to engage with the living God through His Son Jesus, the same God who flung stars into space and let the words of His mouth light come into being. It's the same one that you can speak to this morning and engage with and allow yourself to be drenched in the water that means that you never go thirsty again. Let's sing.